From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will provide insights into the various aspects of our Lord's temporal ministry, from His teaching and miracles to His atoning death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Our devotional for today is entitled, The Leadership of Our Guide. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Truth is like a vast cavern into which we desire to enter, but we are not able to traverse it alone. At the entrance, it is clear and bright, but if we would go further and explore its innermost recesses, we must have a guide, or we shall lose ourselves. The Holy Spirit, who knows all truth perfectly, is the appointed guide of all true believers, and He conducts them as they are able to bear it, from one inner chamber to another, so that they behold the deep things of God, and His secret is made plain to them. What a promise is this for the humbly inquiring mind! We desire to know the truth and to enter into it. We are conscious of our own aptness to err, and we feel the urgent need of a guide. We rejoice that the Holy Spirit is come and abides among us. He condescends to act as a guide to us, and we gladly accept His leadership. All truth we would gladly learn, that we may not be one-sided and out of balance. We would not be willingly ignorant of any part of revelation, lest thereby we should miss blessing or incur sin. The Spirit of God has come that He may guide us into all truth. Let us with obedient hearts hearken to His words and follow His lead.
Thank you.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, he brings the next portion of a two-part message called The Commanding Christ. The principal text is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the account of the miraculous catch of fish. Peter and his partners had fished all night and caught nothing. When Christ told them to go back and cast their nets in deep water, Peter was reluctant, yet he obeyed the Lord's word. And the result was an enormous catch of fish, showing the power of Christ's word and causing Peter to see his own sinfulness as well as Christ's glory. We need to learn the value of Peter's response, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." Peter was humbled, but Christ encouraged him with the assurance that from henceforth you will catch men. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the responsibility of bringing souls to himself. We are to let down the net and leave the catching to him. Now Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of the first of two messages on this theme, the commanding Christ.
The vision of the glory of Christ is never intended to intimidate, but to invigorate. See that very clearly here. Peter, seeing the glory of the Savior, feeling his own inability and unworthiness, immediately feels there has to be distance between me and the Lord. The Lord could not put up with me in his close presence. In other words, Peter felt, because of how great Christ was and how poor he was, that he was useless. But the Lord Jesus turns that right around. And notice what he says in verse 10. Simon, he says, fear not. Fear not. Now, what does he mean here? Obviously, he's not saying don't fear God, because we're commanded to fear God, and a godly fear such as Peter was showing is a very good thing. But this fear that you're being driven out of my presence, this fear that you're being rendered useless in my service, this fear that you can never amount to anything in the work of God, get rid of it. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. You see what he's saying? Peter, far from this realization debarring you from the service of the Lord, it actually equips you. Far from the vision of Christ's glory putting you away, it draws you near. It's not to intimidate, but it is to invigorate. You'll notice what the Savior says. He didn't say, Peter, you're going to go out fishing for souls. Didn't say that. Now, that would be true, but that's not what he promised. He said, Peter, you're going to go out and you're going to catch men. Just as surely as I told you to launch out into the deep. Now, you were too weak to go. You were weary with the toil. Every muscle in your body cried out against going, but I told you to go. I told you to go where your professional instincts told you not to go. And you brought in a great net full of fish. Now, don't be afraid when I tell you to go out fishing for men, because you will catch men just as certainly as you caught the fish. In other words, you've seen my power and glory to bring in a great haul of fish. You've seen nothing yet, Peter. I will let you see me bring in a great haul of a different kind of fish. You will fish for men, and you'll catch them. The verb that's translated catch here appears only twice in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:26, which is a text I'm not getting into this morning. There are more different interpretations of it than I care to get into. And this text, it means catch, it means take alive. You'll take them alive. And of course, what a difference. When he caught fish, it was to kill them. When you catch men, it's to give them life. He says, you'll take them alive. Do you see what Christ is saying here? He's saying, Peter, I commanded, launch out, let down your nets, and brought in the fish. By my command, if you could only, by faith, look beyond your own fear and your own weakness, you would see that when I command you to do it, I am guaranteeing the success of the labor. Similarly, when I command you to go out and fish for men, you will catch men. You will take men alive. You will bring them in. We will see them saved. I guarantee it. Here is the command in Christ. He commands the success of his work. The Lord Jesus Christ not only assures his people of the success of his work, but he himself takes the responsibility to bring souls into the gospel net. Many of the old-time preachers, and you've got to be very careful about this, because allegorizing God's word becomes something of, it's like an opium. I know preachers who never do anything else but spiritualize and allegorize God's word. They're that busy seeing a spiritual meaning in things they can't see the plain meaning. But I think in this case the Lord Jesus draws the allegory. He's the one who says, there's the fish, now here's the application, you're going to catch men. He's the one who draws the connection. So I'm not going beyond the words of Christ here. And with that in mind, I say that throughout the centuries, preachers have turned to this passage and they've seen the sea as a picture of the world, the fish as the picture of souls, the boats as the picture of the various churches, Simon and the others as ministers or Christian workers, the net as the preaching of the gospel, pulling it in is the effort of evangelism. And all that is very true. But never let us forget that superintending the whole thing, there is the commanding figure of the Lord Jesus Christ who stands there saying, I command when to go and where to go. I command and I guarantee that the nets will be filled. I am responsible to bring sinners into the gospel net. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you, my friend, very simply, if you're a Christian, go where the Lord sends you. Go when the Lord sends you. And if the Lord's command to you is to go when and where every other instinct in your body or your experience would say, do the opposite, obey the Lord and go. Go. I think we've got to see that out there, there are millions upon millions upon millions of immortal souls. You and I have a gospel net. Jesus says, let down the net. There are an awful lot of people, they say they're saved, and they've got the gospel net. And they sit back all day and they admire that net. They could tell you its dimensions. They can tell you so much about it that they become veritable theologians. But it never gets wet. They never take it out to sea and drop it in. There are other people and they don't have as good a net as it appears. Their doctrines aren't quite as well formed. They're not as theologically consistent. But at least they're out there dropping the net. I remind you of what I was told in a Reformed church by the elders of the church when they said, pray for us because we never see anybody saved. Never. The only people that we get in are people who have been saved through others that we think are Arminian. We can't get our people to go out and give out gospel tracts or go out and evangelize the lost. Our people are too taken up with other things and they're too busy. What is wrong when we are so proud of the gospel net that we possess and yet we never use it? And yet we can be so critical of others whose net doesn't seem to us to be as good as ours, but at least they're using it. Jesus says, you get your nets out there and let them down. Let them down. You know, everything within us says, Lord, I can't do that. I've told you many a time when God started to speak to me about the ministry, I was scared out of my wits. Not what I want to do. Not because of any, I think, carnal reason, but simply I didn't think I could do it. So what? So what? The Lord Jesus doesn't say, go out there and I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you. If you're not a good enough fisherman, then we're not, heaven's going to be half empty. That's not the Christ I worship. The devil likes to get you and me tied up like that. Maybe you didn't let the net down the right way. Maybe you didn't say the right words. Maybe if you had had a different argument. Maybe if you'd remembered a different text. If this, if that, you'd have seen a whole lot more done. Listen, my friend, let's get rid of all that attack of the devil and get back to what the Lord Jesus says. Go out there and let down the nets for a draft. And he says, I guarantee I'll fill the gospel net. I'll fill the gospel net. I know where the fish are. I know where they are. I know how to enclose them. I know how to bring them in. You just let down the net. Obey me, and I will command the success of my own work. He is the commanding Christ. We will look a little further at that in due course, God willing. In the meantime, let us make sure that however weak or weary, despondent or defeated we may feel in ourselves, we will, like Peter, say, nevertheless, at thy command, we will obey. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, take us from this place today, we pray, with a desire to obey Christ, with a desire to win the lost for him. O God, we thank thee that Christ commands the success of his own work. We rejoice, our Father, that he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We thank thee, our God, that the Lord Jesus will bring his people safely home to glory. O God, give us grace to obey him, to let down the gospel net. Bless every effort in evangelism, every effort in witnessing, every gospel tract that's distributed, every time of prayer in which sinners are lifted up to thee. Every word that is spoken, every kind act that is done with the intention of introducing sinners to Christ, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless the word and the work of the gospel. Set our souls ablaze with a love for Christ. We feel our unworthiness. We feel his great worthiness, and we acknowledge his glory. But, O Lord, we pray, may the glory of Christ invigorate us and set us ablaze with his love to reach the lost for him. And, O God, we pray that we shall see the power of our sovereign Lord in operation as he would bring the lost to himself. Remember any here today who are yet struggling with the guilt of their sin and they're outside of Christ. God, have mercy upon them, we pray. We pray, enclose them in the net of gospel invitation. And, O Lord, we pray, bring many of them to know him whom to know is life eternal. So hear our cry. Answer us abundantly, we beseech of thee. Part us with thy very richest blessing. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Grant that thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace will be our portion this Sabbath day and evermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.